We're back live, Border City Ale House, 1506 Lee Trevino. Final show of the season for us, for you Monday Night Football fans. Excited about that. Got two calls to get to, one line available, 505-6009. Let's go to the calls right now and begin with the Orly, who's next up. Orly, what's happening? Happy Monday.
You're going to miss the best game of the year next Monday night. Possible of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
That is probably the possible Super Bowl. Two best teams. 49ers got a little scary yesterday.
Yep.
When Purdy went down for four plays, got a little scary there.
Yep.
But you know what? He's a tough kid. Is he deserving of MVP? But we'll see what happens.
I mean. Look,
gotta cheer for Seattle tonight. Sorry, Eagles fans.
Let me say this about those two guys. Okay, McCaffrey's having an amazing year. He's almost has 1,300 yards rushing, 13 touchdowns for McCaffrey, and along with that, another 5-7 touchdowns. So when you add it all up, right now McCaffrey is over 1,800 yards and 20 touchdowns. That's ridiculous production. But on the flip side, Brock Purdy is completing 70% of his passes for almost 3,800 yards. So he'll break the 4,000 mark easily. Could have a shot at 5,000. 29 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. You almost want to say they're co-MVPs.
It should be. I mean, they're both part of great. I don't see the 49ers getting beat unless the injury bug gets them. Right now, they're the best team. I mean, even if they got to go on the road, they're road tested.
Yep.
We've already proven that by going into Philadelphia and going into Seattle and the rest of the teams we played on the road. Going back to the UTEP basketball, how far has the program gone down? 10, 15 years ago, Abilene Christian would have been a 40-point underdog against UTEP.
Well,
what have times changed at UTEP?
Listen, before we go crazy about UTEP, understand that a month ago, we were taking calls. Nah, not even a month. 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, we were taking calls that this team has a chance to go back to the NCAA. What was the, Adrian, refresh my memory. What were they comparing it to? Barbies last year when through the first five games of the season?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of praise, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so that was five games into the year, Orly. And now all of a sudden, how this team is an embarrassment and Joe Golding's contract can't end soon enough. So funny what a difference five losses can make. But that's where we're at right now. And as we said earlier, this team, we've seen the good and the bad and the ugly already in this team. Hopefully they can figure out a way to get back to the group that got everybody excited when the season started and not where we're at right now.
I understand. I think we all bit into that. You got to remember who they played the first two games. They scored 120. They played nobodies. They beat another nobody recently. That's false hope.
Now, they beat UC Santa Barbara. So, you know. Now, they beat them without their best player, but they still beat them. So, I get what you're saying. I do. And by the way, the Gauchos so far this season are 6-3. And they've been playing pretty good. So, I don't know. I mean, you're right. Playing nobody can give you a false sense of security. But, you know, UCSB wasn't nobody. That first game in the tournament was also a pretty good one out there in California. And even the second game, they played them right down the stretch. They played them tough. So, Adrian, it still seems to me like Loyola Marymount was the game when things really started to unravel for this team.
Yeah, I still feel like there's a deeper issue right now, and I can't really pinpoint the exact thing. Like, if somebody wants to call in and say they have no interior presence, well, in other games, they've shown that they have at least interior presence defensively. If you want to challenge what they're doing offensively, that they should be more inside out, not try to hit shots from the perimeter, which they're not good at to this point. Well, maybe, I guess, but I really can't pinpoint one big issue with this team right now. I think it's a lot of different things that has just hurt UTEP up to this point. Plus, other teams kind of know what to do against UTEP. It's no secret whenever UTEP gets the zone against them on offense, they struggle.
Well, think about it. Wouldn't you keep zoning a team that can't make an outside shot?
Yes, force them to shoot from the outside.
100%. And we were told that this is a better shooting team, which they looked like it early on. And then all of a sudden now they're resembling the team they were last year. So, you know, we've seen different versions of this team. And I think it was actually, wasn't it Austin Peay who came in and zoned them really for the first time? Even though the Miners won that game, they struggled in that one.
Yeah, that one was maybe not a red flag initially, but you saw some concerns in that game when they beat them. They beat the Gauchos in that one, or excuse me, the Governors in that one, 71-63. But there were still some concerning parts of that game that left you with a little bit of a bad taste. And then Cal started to do it. Bradley threw out the zone. Loyola Marymount did as well. And I'm not saying everybody needs to throw out the zone and that's the exact way to beat UTEP, but it's different looks that other teams are throwing out defensively that's shaking UTEP a little bit.
Why would every team they play not zone them until UTEP shows that they can beat a zone? Like, I mean, if that's the blueprint, I know you're saying that everybody should. Why not? I mean, they've lost five games in a row against Division I opponents, and they've all zoned them. So wouldn't you just keep zoning UTEP also until they show they can make an outside shot?
Yeah, I mean, that's a recipe right there. At least that's what the playbook has said right now. And if you're developing a game plan against UTEP, that's what you do. And then on offense, opponents are really taking advantage of that backdoor cut. And really attacking UTEP's interior. Yesterday, Kevin Kalu and Calvin Solomon both had foul trouble. Calvin Solomon, by the way, came off the bench. That's an interesting thing in itself. He didn't start yesterday's game. And I think the coaching staff was questioning him after the game and after the loss as well. So yeah, it's tough. They've got to figure it out right here because I feel like there's too much talent on this team to be where they're at right here.
All right, let me quickly get through with Gator Richard, and then we'll take the Sports Center break and come back with Mike. 505-6009, our telephone number. Richard, what's going on?
Hey, go Gators, man.
Go Gators.
All right, so it's been a couple weeks, and you guys didn't even acknowledge that I got Dimel fired.
Congratulations.
You do know that my call to sport or minor talk on that Saturday with the Cheez-It guy can do a better job than Dimel, that was the whole reason they finally fired him.
Yeah, I never realized you were the turning point, but that's good. Do you like the new hire, or are you going to throw some zingers out there before he even coaches a game?
Well, put it this way: who said meet the new boss same as the old boss won't get fooled again?
That would
not
be the
like,
who.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
Okay, just long. I appreciate you giving me, like, you know, the 20-second take on something before you have to hang up on me.
How have you not even mentioned Shohei's $700 million deal and the $680 deferred since the last time
I mentioned
called?
That last week.
Did you mention the $680 deferred?
I mentioned that
deferred?
Last week when I talked to Adrian about it.
Yep, oh, I wasn't on the show.
I mentioned that Ichiro did that. He was the highest-paid player during COVID when no one was playing. He was still getting over $5 million.
Hey, have you watched the Shohei documentary on Disney Plus?
No, I have not.
Do you have Disney
Plus?
Didn't
know they had one.
If you, it's good. It's really good. I watched it Friday night and loved it. It's you'll enjoy it. Ichiro's in there, and there's a bunch in there. It's good stuff. It's right up your alley.
Excellent.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, anything else before we wrap it up with you? I'm giving you another chance. Anything else you want to hit on?
Okay, well, I'm just saying, do you agree with my Cheez-It comment, my Cheez-It?
Well, I mean, I think it's comical that you believe that you're the reason that got Dana Dimel fired. That's pretty that's hilarious. But if you want to believe that, good for you, man. Congrats.
I would let the attorneys do the copper wire thing.
Oh, I was waiting for him. I was waiting to see if he had anything else. And no, that was it. That's his walk off the copper wire, Adrian. That's his.
That's right.
That's his mic drop.
That's
his mic drop today. So, all right. Appreciate it. 32 past. We continue here on Sports Talk. Let's go to Sports Center. We'll come back with Mike and more phone calls. Very much. What a comeback that was by Western Kentucky, by the way. 21 points in the fourth, Adrian. They were down big in this game. I believe they were down 35-14 heading into the fourth, and then they come back and win in overtime. Pretty impressive, 38-35 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and it wasn't Austin Reed, Steve. It was Caden Veltkamp. I've never even heard this guy, the quarterback. He had 384 passing yards, 40 for 52, five yep. touchdowns and one interception. What a day for him.
A 6'6", 235-pound freshman from Bowling Green, Kentucky. How about that?
It tells you that if you're a Western Kentucky quarterback, you better know how to sling it, because if you're throwing it, then you just have to be ready to go.
He kind of looks like Michael Plundo.
I thought
like
the same thing. I'm not even
like
kidding.
Like a 6'6 version of Michael Plundo.
I thought the same thing. Hey, our boy Michael Plundo hit me up this week. He wants to come back on. He's
good.
Back in town. So we got to bring that up to him. Veltkamp kind of looks like him.
Yeah, we do. Let's go to Mike. He's next up. 35 past the hour as Sports Talk continues. 505-6009. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you for getting me in. I just wanted to comment on the basketball situation. Also, without sounding too much like the great Allen Iverson in a different context, but we're talking about practice. And I've noticed an alarm 10, 15 years of coaches that come in that are rah-rah guys that are, they have great interviews because they put together great PowerPoints and they put together great practice routines and they really impress the ADs and they impress the owners of these franchises on their great practices. And they come out and they get excited for those sorts of things and they're all hyped up and we hit all our marks at practice and we got off in the 30 seconds that we were supposed to get off on this drill, yada, yada, yada. But these guys, a lot of them, that separates them is they're not game managers. They can't make any adjustments within the game. And I think that's what separated the greats of the past, like Don Haskins and some of these great basketball coaches of the past, Bobby Knight, et cetera. They were able to make adjustments, not only at halftime, but they could call a timeout and make adjustments. And these guys are these great rah-rah guys, and they've got great practice schedules. They just can't make the adjustment in the game. And I'm not coming from I'm currently a high school coach myself. I played college baseball. My kids all played college sports, and you just see this more and more and more. These coaches get these head jobs that just cannot make in game adjustments. And
I think when you see a team that in the last two and a half minutes in a tight game, I don't want to say falls apart, but they just don't have what it takes to pull one out, and we see it happen over and over with a lot of coaches over the years. It's frustrating. But let's also put it this way, too. How many times, Mike, do we watch a UTEP team with Tim Floyd, who won everywhere he was at in college, but UTEP have a hard time also with his teams, getting them through those tough moments? And we know Floyd can coach. We know he's probably the closest thing to Haskins that we've ever seen from all the years he was at. I just think that it's just – for some reason, and I don't know why, it's tougher now than it ever was before, and I feel like it also really makes you appreciate Don Haskins more now than ever.
I mean, like I mentioned, Bear, Bobby Knight, those Mike Krzyzewski, those old style coaches that could really coach games. Maybe they didn't have the this week to practice, but they could really coach a game. I mean, I think they're a dying breed, and I don't know if it's a combination of that and maybe the kids maybe just don't have it in them anymore, but I'm still a big believer that you can pull the best out of kids if you're able to connect with them. And I don't know, it's really disheartening to see the way they fall apart in games, but thank you for the time, and I'll listen out there. Thanks.
No, you're right. I appreciate you, Mike. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you getting in. And hey, everybody, not just for you, but a lot of Miner fans out there watching it and just still in disbelief that this is the same team that they watched a month ago and had such high hopes for. And we've seen it just go completely in the opposite direction. And I know one thing, Adrian, that it's, to me, out of a funk, than it is when a team is rolling well to keep it going. I feel like that's the easy part. The hard part is when you start to have and go through what UTEP's going through right now, it's very difficult for a team to get their swagger back.
Yeah, the game yesterday, it's just about getting a win under their belts. They can kind of realize or kind of, I guess, revisit what winning feels like. And I think that we undervalue the importance of just winning and how contagious that really is in itself, because they're able to win Wednesday in their first game against Norfolk State, which, by the way, Norfolk State is a little bit better than fans would remember. They're a recent NCAA tournament team, and they're 7-5 right now, having lost back-to-back games, albeit, but still a better team than others would think. And then if they win that game, they've got to take on the winner of Wyoming or South Dakota State, which are both quality this week and has success in the Sun Bowl Invitational, and I deem success as winning both of these games, then, hey, the rest of the season's ahead of them, and they can really turn things around quickly. But if they split this week or week, then it's going to continue to be a battle to try to get back to where they were to start off the season.
Yeah, there's no doubt. No doubt. And by the way, the Spartans, as you mentioned, from the MEAC, a conference UTEP knows very well, they lost to Hofstra and Stony Brook on the road. They beat Illinois State on the road. They beat Virginia Commonwealth on the road, lost by 13 at Wichita State. Their home losses came to Fordham and San Jose State. So, you know, I mean, it's a game that UTEP is supposed to win, but you know what? So was Abilene Christian, and that didn't turn out well. So until you see this team, like you mentioned, get it, you know, get a couple W's back and start feeling more like themselves, it's tough. It's really difficult right now. Adrian at Enemy Win the number 3 with this post a little while ago at 600 ESPN El Paso. Fans are saying that the only thing that matters for UTEP men's basketball is the conference tournament. But if we don't get to 20 wins and we don't win the conference tournament, then we won't go to any postseason tourney. We should at least strive for an NIT bid. Well, I mean, I agree with that, but I also think that at this point, Adrian, we could probably throw that out the window. I mean, we've seen they have to get back into conference. They have to, by the time that conference play hits, we want to see this team look more like the team that started the season off, and hopefully that'll be the case. I mean, they've got 3 games left to kind of get themselves ready for that role, because before you know it, it's 2020 for State.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't get any easier. I would say that Conference USA this year is not what Conference USA was last year, but that puts UTEP, you know, top half better than the conference. They got to be at least in the top 6 or the top 5 if you're trying to split this conference up in half. So, yeah, I just think that when it comes to conference play, fans are realizing it is what it is. It's 6-5 right now. If they go into the conference season around 500, that's probably where they're going to end up, around 500. And is that enough to keep fans engaged with this program right now going into next year when you're losing a lot of players after this year? No, you're exactly right.
No, it's not. Not unless they make a good run. All right, 17 in front of 5. We're back with more live out here at Border City Ale House. Come down, folks. Final time we'll be here for Monday Night Football. It's the Eagles and the Seahawks coming up. 600 ESPN El Paso. Twitter X at 600 ESPN El Paso as we continue live from Border City Ale House. 1506 Lee Trevino. Noah at the Noah_G sent this message to us. What an embarrassing moment for Coach Kill. If you're going to publicly criticize someone, you better know for sure. What he's talking about is a specific comment that was made after the loss to Fresno. In fact, Adrian, if you can cue that up, let's play the clip, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. Here it is.
Taken care of 100%. And, you know, it was a great bowl game. And, you know, hopefully we'll can, you know, shade it. Now, the other part of it's this. You know, we had all kinds of stuff, you know, here at the bowl game trying to get done, you know, to get us to be able to practice in an indoor because of a situation that happened, you know, down the road. Most of you know that. Okay. I did my part. I disciplined the young man. And it may not be the time to do it, but, my gosh, I'm going to get off my damn mind because I didn't say anything about it. We disciplined the young man. He doesn't get to do any interviews and stuff like that. You know, if you want to take a toothbrush and clean toilets all the time, do community service, Well, guess what? I hope the AD here gets the same damn discipline with the people around this state that Diego got. Because he, and it don't bother me a damn bit. When he let us want to practice in the indoor facility, when he don't want us to do this and do that, that's chicken. And I don't care. That's my opinion. I get in trouble. I don't give a shit either. Because I can go down, and I can go down to Mexico tomorrow, drink margaritas, and let you all enjoy your life. Because I'll be enjoying mine. But I got class my whole life. And you can ask the college football profession. I've had class. Never been treated like that. And guess what? When that incident happened, I didn't know about it for 2 months. And we'll take that to the bank. And he better be disciplined. He better be disciplined by the state. And if he's not, it's a crime.
About an hour ago that he spoke to Mario Mocha, director of athletics in New Mexico State, plus Eddie Nunez, who you just heard Jerry Kill reference earlier, the director of athletics in New Mexico. And both athletic directors spoke to each other. Nunez also spoke with Jerry. They said the air has been cleared, according to Colin, and all parties feel that what happened during the New Mexico Bowl postgame was a big misunderstanding. So that was a pretty big one that was said on Saturday, and now Adrian were, I guess, screwed up, and it wasn't nearly as bad as we thought it could have been.
You know what I took away from all of this, and I really didn't expect anything to come after the fact, so it's interesting and good stuff from Colin to get the after effect, you know, the after report, I should say, and everything that's coming after the fact. But what I saw here is just a coach who wanted to defend his players and defend the whole process and what happened and won't stand for anything like that. I also saw a coach who, in the future, if anybody else wants to pry him away from New Mexico State, you need to understand he doesn't need that job. He feels really respected across college football or the people in his life that matter, and if it doesn't work out, he'll just be drinking margaritas in Mexico like you heard him. So I love that line.
That's my takeaway from the entire clip. I feel like we now know Jerry Kill's retirement plan. I feel like he will be one of these individuals who will move to Mexico, sip on the beach, drink margaritas, and never have a worry or care in the world. I feel like he gave you a little taste to what his exit strategy will be when he leaves college football coaching.
Yeah, and you got to think about it. If you're a Power 5 coach or a program that wants to hire Jerry Kill or something like that, and you end up getting Jerry Kill, well, you got to be prepared for him to bolt at any point and get started on retirement. That's okay with him. Hey, he's living his best life, so I'm for this.
100% agree. It's a preview about what to expect Wednesday and Thursday at the Don Haskins Center. It's Sports Talk Live out here at Border City L House, 1506 Lee Trevino with 600 ESPN El Paso.
Adrian Broaddus.
Hour number two underway. Welcome back, everybody. We're live out here at Border City L House, 1506 Lee Trevino. Getting ready for the Eagles and Seahawks. Final time we'll be doing this. Looking forward to seeing all of you out here tonight for the game. We're giving away prizes from our friends at Kick Social at 812 Montana, as well as Relax at 808 Montana, right next door. We're going to give away free hours and free axe-throwing sessions from our friends at Kick Social and Relax. We've got a pair of tickets to the 90th anniversary Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl game. We've got tickets to the West Star Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitation on Wednesday and Thursday. We've got great prizes from our friends at All That Music and Video, Collector's Marketplace, Best Buy parking lot is actually, I should say, Fountains of Farrah, just below the Best Buy parking lot is where they are. Holiday hours include 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. this Monday through Friday, Saturday 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Christmas Eve 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They will be closed on Christmas Day for all of your music, pop culture, videos. They've got it all, folks, and we're going to be giving away some DVDs of the Eagles and the Seahawks, not to mention the bottle opener keychains. From our friends at 915 Sports and Novelties, I've got great prizes, including a Michigan Wolverines ball cap, a Washington Football Club set of 0 to 6 month old booties we're going to be giving away as well. And, hey, you want to win all these great prizes? Come down and see us here. Halftime. for Monday Night Football. Well, Wednesday and Thursday, we've got the West Star Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitation. It's going to be Wyoming along with South Dakota State, UTEP, and Norfolk State. And with us right now is the one and only Barry Cobrin, who is the chair emeritus of the basketball committee. Is that basically the best way to call you, chair emeritus?
Emeritus means you're on your way out. Usually.
Is that what it means?
Yeah, that's when you can't retire. They make you emeritus.
You've been on your way out for over a decade.
Exactly.
And you keep sticking around.
Did you just throw me
perfect.
Out? I think you just threw me out.
Please.
I'm done.
The door never leaves. It stays open the whole time. Welcome back. It's good to see you. And as always, by the way, Adrian, I got to say this. Barry always brings the greatest Android cell phone devices of all time. He's been owning them for years, and he's got one of those large, what do you call this kind of phone? The one that folds in half.
It's a flip phone.
A flip phone.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I don't understand. I see the line going right down the middle. So, honestly, like, if I can see the fold, what good is it? Because you got to tilt it a certain way not to see the fold. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
As a diehard iPhone user, explain to me the lure and attraction of these flip phones.
This is for old people that have bad eyes.
Is that what that is?
Exactly. So you can look at that.
Oh, that's
look
nice.
At that. See, I can see everything.
So it's kind of like an iPhone meets an iPad. You just have both devices.
It's sort of a tablet, yes.
That's
yes.
good. Well, you've always. Are you ever going to go and join the good guys and get an
the
iPhone?
Blue bubble, green bubble.
Yes. Will you ever do that?
No.
No, you've decided there's no way.
No.
What if somebody gave you a free iPhone? Would you use it?
There's always eBay.
There you go. That's okay. Now I know where you're at on this.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve.
Hey, good to have you back. You know, it's a lot of fun. And truth is, excited about this tournament. It's just a couple of days away. And, four teams that probably are pretty evenly matched going into this tournament.
Yeah, I was looking at the net rankings, which is the rankings the NCAA uses, and they are all very close together. Which is unusual. Usually there's one near the bottom, one way up on top, and a couple in the middle. This time we got four teams all equally matched where any one of the four could actually win the tournament, I think. Norfolk is coming in probably the highest ranked of the four. They're a really good team. This will be their fourth trip here to El Paso. They've won a couple of games here, actually,
yep.
as they've been here. Last time they were here, they beat UTEP in the first round. Coach says they're going to do it again. I don't know. I don't think they will with UTEP's home court, but we'll see what happens Wednesday night.
Yeah, you never know. And then the early game, the 5 o'clock game, will be the Wyoming Cowboys at 6-4 taking on the South Dakota State Jackrabbits at 6-5. So, again, this could be a pretty entertaining basketball game.
When you're talking about all three, Norfolk, Wyoming, and South Dakota State, these are perennial NCAA tournament teams. All three of them were in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. South Dakota State won 30 games 2 years ago. They were 18-0 in the Summit League. Didn't lose a conference game. Really a great team. Eric Henderson has taken over that program and done an incredible job with them. You know, it's a great athletic program. People that watched football this week saw what their football team does. South Dakota State's number one in the country there, and they'll play for the national championship in Frisco coming up soon. They'll play Montana, I think. But as far as basketball program, they're equally as good. Since he's been there, they've never finished lower than second place in the conference, and they're going to be looking to get back to the NCAA tournament. Wyoming, everybody in El Paso, it's a minor fan, knows Wyoming. We all go back to Dennis Dembo and Eric Lechner and a few of those days, and this will be actually Wyoming's third trip to our tournament since they left the conference and we're no longer with UTEP. We brought them back three times. They're probably the one we've brought back the most since of the former WAC schools that UTEP used to play.
Not to mention Ken DeWeese is on the staff, and Kenny, whose dad was on the Don Haskins staff, he was part of the Tim Floyd staff years ago.
Exactly, and that was our connection there. Is we've stayed in touch with Kenny. He's been great. You know, he lived here, and loves El Paso. He's looking forward to coming back. He saw what we did as from the UTEP side, what we do as a tournament, and he talked his coach into coming down here. So we're excited. They were in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago as well. Had some really tough injuries last year. They're by far best player, probably the player of the year in the Mountain West, was hurt all season, and that set them back last year. But they brought in a lot of kids from the portal this time, and they've reloaded, and we're looking for Wyoming to be really tough. And that first game on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, the Wyoming-South Dakota State game, is going to be a real battle.
It sounds like it, and I can't remember, and you can, having been involved in this tournament for so many years, Barry, when was the last time we had four teams all with similar records and all kind of grouped together in this tournament?
Because we haven't really focused on trying to do that, so it's been a while. Probably the year we had, and I'm dating myself, but probably the year we had Penn State, Mississippi State, and St. Joe's joining UTEP. But that was Coach Haskins.
25 years ago.
Coach Haskins was coaching for his 700th win against St. Joe's in the championship game, and Phil Martelli that year as well. But we also had Mississippi State and Penn State that year as well. So there were four teams. UTEP really was – we were ready to give this plaque to Coach Haskins. It was made and ready to go. St. Joe's was down about 15. I was just talking to Phil Martelli about this last March, and he remembers the game very well. But they came back and beat them that game. But that was probably when we had four really equal, talented teams, and anybody could have won it.
Yep. And when you look at this year's tournament, knowing you have – Wyoming coming in with the old WAC rivalry, dating back really into the 70s and the 80s when that started up. And then the two teams. Now, it's funny. You always tell me that the one team that's the toughest team to get is the team that's supposed to come here to lose two games. Those days are over. Even when you try to get the matchup for UTEP in that first round, hey, they're not expecting to come in here and lose two games. They're expecting to come in here and try to win this tournament like everybody else.
They don't know that they're that team. They're here just to play hard and win games. And actually, the MEAC teams that we've been bringing in have a really good record in our tournament. They've all won games. A couple years ago, North County A&T should have beaten Kent State. It went into overtime. Those teams are really good teams now, and they all have improved dramatically. There's a real focus on the HBCUs all bringing in higher quality, better talent, going back to those schools and bringing them back to prominence. And we've had a great relationship with the historically black colleges. We've brought one in something like 18 in the last 22 years we've had an HBCU. And they've been great, and we love having them here. They love being treated well, like we treat them like no other place, and just like the other schools. And we're very happy to have that relationship with the MEAC and the SWAC and a couple of those other conferences as well.
Barry, you mentioned Wyoming and the reason why they came to the Sun Bowl Invitational this time around. Do you think that the Sun Bowl Invitational in the future could get more teams out of the Mountain West? It's always great when UTEP fans get a chance to see former foes like this who used to be in their conference play them.
This was the first year going into this year that I was really focusing. I had probably speed dial four different Mountain West schools this time that we have really good connections. We lost one of those connections at one of the schools, but I still almost got them with the new regime. But, we have a great relationship with Tim Miles at San Jose State, Joe Scott's at Air Force. We have Utah State. I know that Danny Sprinkle, I've had a lot of conversations with him there. Wyoming, obviously. There's a few others there that we've tried to get. But, yeah, I'd love to get a Mountain West school every year if we could, just because the fans can relate and remember these schools and have a rivalry with some of these schools. And we love getting them. So we do have some good connections to those schools.
I wish the Lobos would come and do this one time just to experience this and give the fans from Albuquerque a chance to travel for a couple days.
Yeah, we got New Mexico State last year. Maybe we can get New Mexico pretty soon. But, you got to remember, they play in the pit. They sell they're ranked now, or close to ranked. I think they're 10-1 again. Richard Pitino's really got them playing very well. And it's harder to get teams to leave home games where they're drawing 12, 14, 15,000 fans a game to come play two games down here in a tournament. Those other schools like San Jose doesn't have a big draw at home. We could get somebody like that.
How about Boise, especially knowing you've got Jeremiah Dickey now as director of athletics over there?
Boise, I've called a number of times over the years. They're a little tougher because they have a great following at home, too. And, they would be a good name if we could bring in not necessarily an old rival, because Boise I don't think was ever in the WAC when we were in the WAC. But they would be fun. Any of those schools we'd love to get. Colorado State, the head coach has been here before. Nico Medved, who came with Nebraska. I think he was an assistant at Nebraska when he came in. So they would be great. And I've talked to Nico a few times, but they were ranked a couple weeks ago, I think.
So. I feel like Boise, if I'm not mistaken, I think they might have been in the WAC towards the end, right before they broke off and formed the Mountain West.
At that point, maybe, yeah. Unless they were one of the additions to the Mountain
West. They could have been one of the early additions to the Mountain West.
It seems like. I don't remember.
That's possible,
UTEP
too.
Playing Boise back in that day, but they may have.
I flew to Boise for a conference game with the women, and I feel like that was in the early 2000s. Maybe so maybe Boise was one of the early additions after the original eight.
Okay, yeah.
So anyway, it takes me back a while. Yeah. Hey, let's come back. Let's talk about what's going to happen tomorrow before the tournament, especially you've got a kids clinic. There's a press conference, the arrival. Let's do all that when we come back.
Okay, right? Sounds good.
More with Barry Coburn as we continue here on Sports Talk. Before we do that, though, let's go to Charlie One to get this traffic update. Night football, we will not be here next Monday. Then there's no Monday night game on New Year's Day. But you have a chance to come down here right now and enjoy the Eagles and Seahawks, home of the Eagles fan club. Going to be a lot of fun. Tons of prizes we're going to be giving away at halftime of the game. Plus, it's pint night as well. 350, 450, and 550 pints. You also have the opportunity to enjoy $3 cans of Modelo and a $4 Fireball. Plus, the menu is whether it's half-pound burgers, chicken sandwich, wings, nachos, brisket, pizza, everything you could imagine they have out here for you. For every appetite, it is our home, Border City Ale House. Back with Barry Coburn right now, talking about the West Star Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. It starts Wednesday, and then it continues on Thursday. Four teams be playing in it, including the Miners, Norfolk State as well, plus South Dakota State and former longtime WAC and current Mountain West Conference team Wyoming, the Cowboys. This is their second trip back. Third trip already?
Three different head coaches, but yeah, third trip with three different regimes we've got. Heath Schroyer brought them first, then Alan Edwards, the former Kentucky player that coached there, brought them the second time, and now Jeff Linder, and we'll bring them back this year.
When do the teams start arriving in El Paso, Barry?
This year is a crazy year. Usually they're spread out. Usually we'd have had a team come in today, but none of them came in 2 days before. We have everybody coming in almost the same time tomorrow. We have greetings, as we do the Sun Bowl traditional greeting. We will be going at 11, 12, 1, and 2 tomorrow.
Wow.
Back-to-back-to-back-to-back greetings, one right after the other. We actually have two teams chartering in, which is very unusual. We don't usually have too many basketball teams chartering in, but both Wyoming and South Dakota State will be chartering in. It's supposed to be close to 69 degrees tomorrow, so I expect both Wyoming and South Dakota State to get off the plane in shorts as they arrive. But they're the last two coming in at 1 and 2. Norfolk will be the first team in. They're traveling the farthest from the East Coast, but they'll be here at 10:50 tomorrow, and they'll be at the airport. So if anybody's around the airport at 10:50 a.m. tomorrow, come see us. Just listen for the mariachis and walk over toward them, and you'll see the dancers and the mariachis in the Sun Court and the whole group greeting Norfolk tomorrow morning.
That's a tough go for them. They're playing tonight, probably right now, and then they're turning around and flying first thing in the morning to El Paso after
Leaving there at 6-something in the morning, so they'll be at the airport at probably 4:30, something like that. And then they've got to play the next night. So,
by the way, they're up 29-14 over Southern Virginia. Midway through the first half.
I bet Southern Virginia in that game. I thought they would cover, but I guess not.
Not looking good.
Not looking good for us. Oh, it just updated. It went 34-17 now.
And Norfolk will be 8-5 after this one. Southern Virginia, a smaller school, so this is a game that Norfolk should have a tune-up before they get to UTEP.
Exactly.
So they come in for the arrival. And then there are captains for every team.
Correct.
Let's mention the team captains for each of the four.
Sure. Norfolk State, well, their captain is Fernia Seves. Tammy Gladkowski has Wyoming, and Patrick Espinoza has South Dakota State. And Abel Rodriguez has UTEP. He's been our UTEP captain for a while. Don't forget, Vic Salazar is our chairman as well, and we have a number of past chairmen and Sun Bowl past presidents, and everybody kind of hangs around, and we have a great group of people. And so we have newcomers. We probably have 9 or 10 newcomers on the host committee this year. So,
excellent. And, yeah. And as far as the events go for the players involved, what will those consist of tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday?
Wednesday and Thursday they have games,
so they don't. So there's no events. So really, it's just tomorrow.
Actually, it's not true. Let's start tomorrow. Two of the teams will practice right after they get here. One of them, South Dakota State's going to practice before they leave Brookings, South Dakota, and the other two will practice here. We'll all gather at 6 o'clock at the Durham Center. Little Mexican fiesta. We'll have some 40s will be providing the dinner for us, and we have entertainment for them as well. We've had the same entertainment every year for a number of years for both football and basketball.
Are we doing hypnotists?
We are doing Doug McGraw will be coming in as well from Orlando, the greatest soccer coach / hypnotist in the country. So Doug's coming in tonight, very late tonight, and it's a great show that most of the players come in thinking it's fake and not real and whatever, and I've probably seen him do it 60 times, and it's amazing. It's a tough act. I don't know if I'd want to make a living that way, where you have to depend on your audience members as your entertainment, but he does it every time, and he pulls it off, and the players and coaches just love it. It's just they're just laughing their head off. They're very clean, nothing dirty about it, very clean entertainment, and he does a great job. So they'll do that. It's not too late a night. Then we'll go the next morning. They have shoot-arounds at the Haskins Center. But also, Wayne Thornton, who we all know, we just named the Grandview Community Center after Wayne Thornton this week, or I guess it was Friday. Wayne Thornton came to us 27 years ago. I think he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but we started the skills camp for kids here in town. It's free for kids. They all get a T-shirt. They all get a basketball. They get pizza. They get a squeeze bottle. They get a whole bunch of stuff. Marathon is our sponsor for that. And they'll be there from 9 to noon, I think. And we bring all four of the teams come for about 20, 30 minutes. The head coaches speak to the group either about life lessons or basketball skills. We'll either keep them together or break them up into their stations. And it's been a great success for us. And it's great for the kids that participate in it. And that's the other thing the team will do. Other than that, then they'll just have games at 5 and 7 both nights and shoot-arounds and kind of stay off their feet if they can.
Didn't Dick Vitale come for this clinic years and years ago, around the time it first started in the late 90s?
It wasn't for the clinic, but we used to have a banquet. And instead of doing the hypnotist, we had a banquet. And we had a number of great speakers. Al McGuire, Dick Vitale, what's his name? Former coach Westlake, what was his name? Pat? I can't remember. But Vitale and McGuire were kind of back to back. When Hardaway was playing, Dick Vitale was our speaker.
Wow.
I remember that was the year. And he spoke directly to Tim, I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we're going all the way back here for the banquet back in the 80s.
I guess that's when it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been late 80s because I didn't start till about 88. So it must have been late 80s.
You know,
we did the banquet probably back then. Players kind of got tired of sitting there and listening to speakers, but it was a good event. For Paul Westhead, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
I knew it was West. But I was trying
former
to
Suns coach.
Former Suns coach and a great player, too. I think he was a good player. But he came, and there were a few others as well, but those are the three I remember that we brought in. We had to, Billy Packer was the other one. We brought him in as well. We've had to fly a plane out to get him and bring him back.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, as far as the events, you talked about it, the games, so you really can't do anything. The players can't do anything Tuesday, or actually Wednesday and Thursday, besides get ready for their games. And yet you have these host committees, and what they're responsible for is to make sure the coaches, their families, and the players all have the opportunity to have a very comfortable, relaxing stay in El Paso when they're not on the court.
Absolutely. That's our lifeblood as our host committee. We wouldn't be doing this for 62 years now if it weren't for the host committee, because all three of these teams, you know, Norfolk's been here before. The head coach, this is his fourth trip. He's coming back because of the way he's treated here and loves coming back. Wyoming, we've got Ken DeWeese, as you mentioned, and he knows us very well. Well, South Dakota State has not participated in our tournament, but the head coach was an assistant with North Dakota State when they were here. So he's been here and has been trying. We actually had him under contract during COVID, and that we didn't have the tournament that year, but they were supposed to be here. 2021, I think it was, that they were supposed to be here. So teams come here because they know about us. They have connections with us. It's because of the host committee. The South Dakota State coach is bringing his wife, his son. A lot of times they bring their families, unless they want to have a good time, which some of them would rather do that. But we open it up. You know, Jimmy Rogers, who we lost this past year, actually came up with the idea for a hospitality room, and we're talking 60 years ago, and it was pioneered. Everybody knows Jimmy with the football committee, but Jimmy actually started the basketball tournament as well. John Fulmer was on the basketball committee back in the day, and we follow this recipe that they came up with. You know, when you were on the committee, we were doing the same thing. We've made some tweaks here and there because there are cell phones and Twitter and things like that that preclude us from doing some of the things that were done back in the day.
True.
But we have evolved to a very great environment, and the coaches love coming here. And they tell, you know, I always say, if I can get you here once, you will be back. I mean, that's the trick, is getting him to come the first time. So,
you know, you talk about hospitality in terms of sponsorship. West Star has been with you since before their name change, when they were Bank of the West.
Exactly.
And you look at what they've done all these years, being a part of this this tournament. You know, they could have ended this partnership a long time ago, but West Star has hung tough and been there to keep this thing going as well.
Had a nice conversation with David Osborne today, the president of West Star, and we're looking for continue with them for many more years. They are as good a sponsor as you could have. You know, Rick Francis and the whole crew over there at West Star are unbelievable. They allow us to do what we do. We couldn't bring these teams in without West Star's involvement. We love to have them and continue with them for many more years, I hope.
Well, we do too. As far as tickets go, what's the easiest way for fans to take advantage and get tickets for either one night or both nights? Because I know if you want the all-tournament pass, it's one of the best deals you're going to find anywhere.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and Ticketmaster, go to the UTEP ticket site, or go to Ticketmaster is probably the best way, or you can go to the Sun Bowl office. We've still got – I don't think we've raised the prices in a number of years. You got the four-game, two-night package for $45, or you can actually get them for $25 if you want tickets in the upper rows. But that gets you all four games. $25 for four games, that's $6 a game, six and a quarter a game. That doesn't even get you popcorn at the movies, I don't think, for that price. We actually have a military price as well. It's only $10 for all four. We have student tickets as well. It's also $10. We want, you know, I know the students are out for the holidays, but a lot of them live in town, I think, and as long as you got your ID, come get your student ticket and make some noise. We'd love to have you. We also have a one-night package as well if you just want to come one night. But we'd love to have you for all four games. And this year I think there's going to be four quality games no matter what happens in the first night.
First game will start at 5, and then depending on when that game ends, the UTEP game will probably on the first night start between 7:30 and about 7:40, 7:45, right?
It'll be pretty close to 7:30. We've been pretty good about that. We'll put 30 minutes on the clock as soon as the first game ends, and the game's about 2 hours, so should be about 7:30 tip-off of the second game. But you never know. It could be a quick game, and don't get there late. Plus, okay, you know, come see part of that first game.
It's going to be a good one.
You know, come see that game. Even if it's, you know, get off work at 6, come see the second half. Get a beer between games and wait for the UTEP game to start. A nice, some burritos or something to eat and something to drink at the game, and enjoy the UTEP game following. It should be 7:30.
Looking forward to it. Barry, always great to see you. Thanks for dropping by the Ale House over here, and I will see you Wednesday and Thursday night.
We'll see you. I'm glad to see you. And remember, if you're at the airport tomorrow, come see us about 10:50 a.m.
Looking forward to it. He's Barry Coburn, folks, from the West Star Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. We'll come back with more right after Adrian, who's standing by with this bottom of the hour SportsCenter update. And we appreciate Barry for dropping by and giving us the lowdown on everything that's going to be happening. Once again, you know, you talk about the games and who's playing and what's going to happen. And currently right now, updating you on that Norfolk State game, they're up 47-23 with just under 2.5 left to go in the first half. So they're well on their way against Southern Virginia to picking up their eighth win of the season. And, Adrian, that's going to be an interesting test for the Miners. At this point, there are no gimmies anymore. And Norfolk State is going to come in here, and they're going to want to advance to the championship game. And that has a chance to be a pretty entertaining basketball game following that South Dakota State-Wyoming contest on Wednesday.
Yeah, I like Norfolk State's defense. They turn people over at a high rate, just like the Miners. UTEP prides themselves in what they can do in order to cause turnovers on defense. That's what Norfolk State does well on the season, is, you know, on their end. They also don't turn the ball over much on their side offensively. Not something UTEP can say on their end. I like Norfolk State's free throw percentage. They get to the charity stripe and they make their free throws. They're actually 26th in the country in free throw percentage right now. And yeah, this is definitely a team that you can't take lightly. Jamari Thomas is their best player, a junior. And yeah, that's the guy that they definitely go to.
How about this? He is a 6-foot guard, okay? Jamari Thomas is not exactly a large basketball player. 6 feet. He's averaging just under 20 a game right now, Adrian, 19.8. But what really impresses me the most about him is he is shooting 45.8% from the field and 86.5% from the line. He is going to be a force and definitely somebody UTEP's going to have to deal with. In fact, if you look at their top three scorers, Thomas, Alan Bertrand, and Christian Ings, they're averaging from the line 86.5, 86.2, 82.1. So they're all better than 80% foul shooters, and they're also all averaging 45 or higher from the field, and they're all guards. So we're talking about Bertrand is 48.5% from the field, and he's a 6'5 senior guard from Philadelphia. And Ings is averaging 53.7% from the field, and he's a 6'2 senior guard, also from Philadelphia. So it's a very good shooting team, both from the line and from the field, which means UTEP's defense will have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, and it also means that we could be seeing a ton of free throws come Wednesday. That could be a long game, Steve, filled with a lot of whistles on both sides, if that's the case. I saw what Norfolk State offers on their side of things when it comes to defending people at the, you know, not necessarily committing turnovers or committing free throws and fouls and stuff like that, and they're not actually good in that category either. So UTEP will have a chance to go to the charity stripe. Norfolk State will have a chance to go to the charity stripe, and this game could be won or lost depending on free throw percentage on Wednesday.
Well, they're not big. I mean, they're a smaller team with smaller guards. So once again, Adrian, back to defense, we might see a lot of zone from Norfolk State against UTEP early on to try to make them beat them with the outside shot.
Yeah, I haven't seen them play this year, so I'm not too sure what kind of defense they run. I'll tell you this. I was keeping up a little bit in that Stony Brook game, and they were getting killed. This was on the road. They were getting killed, but they actually came back in that game and made it respectable when it was all said and done. So I think this is a tough team. The Spartans are always going to be competitive under Robert Jones. We just talked about it. They went to the NCAA tournament in 2022, and then last year they were also a pretty strong team as well. So
yep,
this team they are definitely a team that always seeks success in what they do on the floor.
No doubt. All right, 20 in front of 6. We've got about 35 minutes left with you. If you want to get into the show, 505-6009, as we take you right up to kickoff for the Eagles and the Seahawks out here at Border City Ale House and 600 ESPN El Paso. It's actually, what are we now? We've got about 28 minutes till we're ready for Eagles and Seahawks. Alberto's been hanging out with us throughout the course of the show today. Alberto, just out of curiosity, you're very close to UTEP. You did sidelines for volleyball. You attend a lot of this, the games and go to a lot of UTEP activities. I've heard Adrian's take. I listened to Minor Talk yesterday. We got awards to give out in a little bit from the loss over the weekend to Abilene Christian. What's your take right now on UTEP basketball?
I think they need to play better ball, more cohesive ball. I didn't watch yesterday's game, but I don't want to get super depressed and watch it. I was with the family celebrating, so. But I came in, asked Adrian about it, but just by what he's sounding off on, it's the same stuff we've been seeing. So I think that I haven't given up on them, obviously. I think that they can still pull it together. I think there's a bunch of athletes on there that can work it out. But the basketball that I see them play on TV and both in person is just like I see it, and I'm not a basketball guy, and I just say, yeah, this isn't going to work. This isn't working. This isn't clicking, and it's not marketable. You know, it's just like at the end of the day, it's boring basketball. I think it's not like exciting. You're not making threes. You're not making a bunch of dunks a game. You don't look good offensively, and that's what, in my opinion, gets people in the stands. So they need to work it out because I know they have it in them. So
yeah, they did that. I mean, they did that early on. They just haven't done it recently. In fact, part of the reason fans were so excited was they were playing exactly the kind of basketball that you were talking about. And, you know, the downside to that is they were doing it against subpar competition, teams like McMurray and then the Science and Arts Academy. But they scored 89 points on Santa Barbara. They put up 75 on Cal, 71 on Austin Peay. But you look at these losing, you know, the games they've lost. Adrian, here's the interesting thing, okay? 59 against Bradley, 47 against Loyola Marymount, 63 against Corpus Christi, 49 against Oregon, and then 82 in the loss to Abilene Christian. So other than Abilene Christian, 47, 59, 49. It's a team that doesn't resemble the team that was scoring, you know, 80 and high 70s in those first three wins against the likes of Santa Barbara, Austin Peay, and Cal.
Yeah, I was surprised today when I read that UTEP is actually number one in Conference USA, third in the country in fast break points per game, because I feel like that's a statistical category that the Miners, while it apparently the stats will say that they're good in that category, I feel like they could be a little bit better, or at least that's where I find UTEP's most successful from in transition and getting those transition points. And maybe that's how you excite fans offensively, is kind of fly around a little bit more. And that's why defenses have tried to slow down UTEP, because they realize that when they're playing in transition, that's when they can really score.
Before we get to Cruz, let's give out some awards right now, starting off with our Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game. Who do we give that to from the Abilene Christian contest?
Yeah, it's going to go to Tate Hardy. In this one, he finished with 22 points, 7 for 16 from the field, and then hit a trio of three-pointers. Was really the only Miner who hit more than one three-pointer yesterday in the game. So had to give it to Tate Hardy in this one.
Most of our lows are in the 40s now, folks, and it's chilly in the morning, which means only one thing. You need to make sure that your heater is up and working to keep your house toasty and warm in the winter. If not, here's what you need to do. Just go to the Find a Dealer tab at WindSupplyElPaso.com, click on the Champion Dealer link, and you will see not only they're certified Champion Elite dealers, but also their preferred Champion dealers. You can contact your dealer nearest you and set up an appointment with Wind Supply El Paso. Now, also time for our Player of the Game, brought to you by Timothy Cantrell.
Steve, it was tough to find one. We stuck with Tate Hardy yesterday, and we gave it to him. We gave him a dual award, and, you know, you kind of do that when it's a tough game for the Miners in this one. But he was named the Player of the Game by us, 22 points in this one. I'll also mention this. He contributed with 4 steals. He did foul out of the game late in the stretch, but also chipped in with 5 rebounds. I just thought Hardy was all around the floor yesterday, and when they needed an answer, he at least gave his best effort. Jonathan Dos Anjos was the only player yesterday who finished with a positive plus minus. He was plus 4 in efficiency, but other than that, it was really just Tay Hardy and what he was able to do.
Wow, I did not even realize we had a double award winner. That's pretty rare with us, isn't it? It really is.
I would say, football had a lot of those, Steve. Football had a lot of those guys who went both. So, yeah, I think for this one, for basketball, who do you give it to? Who's the other hot hand? Who do you give the other award to? The players struggled yesterday in a big way.
I hear you. Folks, if you're in the market right now for a home, new or used, Timothy Cantrell can help you out. Years of experience, lots of great market knowledge, and somebody that just gets the job done and produces for you. You would like to learn more, you can contact Timothy today, 204-8441. That's 204-8441 for Timothy Cantrell. All right, let's get to Cruz, and then we'll wrap up hour number two here on Sports Talk. Cruz, thanks for the call. How are you?
I'm doing okay, buddy. Hey, I think we need to give the youth basketball team a little more time. Right now, you know, he's blending them in with players from last year and this year. And when they're passing the ball around, and I've noticed at times it seems like they're kind of thinking, should I pass it or should I shoot? And when they get a little more experience, you know, if time is the queen of our lives, we must be careful how we spend it. And I used to tell my kids, improvement comes a little at a time, like today, a quarter of an inch. I really need a place to draw this. But, you know, today, a quarter of an inch improvement. Tomorrow, another quarter of an inch. Then the next day, maybe not that much. And then we get maybe a half inch. And in about a month or so, that turns into a big improvement. And we need to give them a little more time where they get to know each other better and their attitude changes. Hey, give me the ball. I'll take the shot. Instead of thinking whether I should pass it or shoot, they'll get the ball, and they will have made their mind up ahead of time, and they'll shoot. And I think, you know, for them to be a cohesive unit, they need to get to know each other a little better.
Good point. It'll take a little time. You're right. I mean, we always say that you want to have everything rolling by the start of conference play. Cruz, that's 2 weeks from now. It's right around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're a little behind, I would say, but hopefully we can get caught up. If not this year, next year, but I want it to be this year. We're looking for this year, and we're always looking for positive things. The ladies volleyball in New Mexico State, that was all very exciting. We'd like to go for something like that with a basketball team, too.
Well put, Cruz. Enjoy, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you getting in. When we come back, we'll get you ready for kickoff. Eagles-Seahawks coming up here live at Border City Ale House, 1506 Lee Trevino, and with us on 600 TSPN El Paso.